B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Greg Bedard in studio for another hour. We got 10 questions around the league coming up in a few minutes. Let's get to some more of your calls here, because once we do the 10 questions, there's no calls during that segment. John in Winthrop, what do you got? Lead us off this hour.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Dorsett. I've been watching him from the beginning. When he first came here, he looked like the water boy. He was small, not physically ready for the NFL, and he's worked hard the past couple of years to raise himself up to, you know, a spot starter.
So, John, and I'm just going to cut you. I don't think he's any bigger. Has he gotten any bigger? Has he grown?
Not that I'm aware of.
Since he got here. So, I think he's always been the same kind of guy, and I think he is a perfect guy for Brady because he runs routes and he's sure-handed. And he's not a big play guy, and he's not a huge separation guy, and he's not a take-a-top-off-the-defense guy. He's just reliable. That stat, again, I never realized. 23 of the last 23 targets he's caught. And that's just regular season. So those playoff games, he had some targets that were not caught. But the last 23 regular season targets he's caught, which is an incredible number, I think, for an outside receiver. Like,
absolutely.
That's got to tell you something, and that just confirms what my eyes have told me about the guy, that I just think he's a good Patriots, sort of classic Patriots receiver. Get open and catch the ball, and no bull crap.
I mean, in the last 2 years overall as a Patriot, they're 39 of 49 when they throw it on, 80%. I mean, that's a big number.
Tremendous. That's tremendous. And he's the guy, according to Greg, that gets squeezed out with Antonio Brown, because Gordon's going to remain the boundary receiver, Edelman's a slot guy, and when they go to three receivers, that's really the third receiver you're talking about? That's Antonio Brown's the quote-unquote the third receiver?
Well, I mean, that's another factor. Like, you know, what are they going to do? Because, you know, I think that sometimes Gordon and Brown are going to have to split time. I mean, basically, they're going to probably split when they go to wide receiver, and I don't know how much they're going to do that. They're going to have to basically split it between the three of them. And it's going to be an interesting, delicate balance, all that stuff. So, you know, it's all in play now.
Okay,
with Antonio Brown here.
You said earlier that Edelman wants the ball, Gordon wants the ball. Do they really? Do you think there's going to be issues like that? It doesn't.
It
doesn't feel to me like there's going to be bickering among the receivers with except for Antonio. Like, that's the only guy that I worry about. I don't worry about those other guys. Should I?
No, I mean, I Edelman, I don't worry about at all. You know, Gordon, I do worry about just in terms of keeping him interested in the loop, you know, as far as the offense and things like that. Because I think if he's not given a lot of work, I think his focus can wane during the game. But I don't think outside of Brown, I don't think you're going to have anybody, you know, acting like a diva and wanting the ball.
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue on the team. I think the only potential issue is Antonio Brown getting squirrely, and then he and Brady, you know, him falling out of favor with Brady or vice versa or something like that's the dynamic. I don't think it's the other receivers. I don't think Edelman's going to come out of a game with three targets and be like, I need the damn ball. Like, I just don't think – I don't think that's on the table here. Scott in Sandwich on Jamie Collins. Yes, Scott.
Hey, guys. Hey, Greg. Talk about Jamie Collins. Here for the first time. He left, went to Cleveland, came back, learned how to play the team. Same thing Pat Chung did. It's like he went away from the Patriots defense, learned how to be a good teammate, defensive player, and came back, and now he's awesome. What do you guys think?
Okay, Maz is already shaking his head. What's your problem?
Because I don't think it's about going away and learning how to be a good teammate. I think it's about going away and getting your money and then coming back and then being willing to buy in. That's what I think it is. So, you know, for some guys, and it happens to a lot of them, they play here and they reach a pivotal point where they're due to get paid, and then they get frustrated, and then they don't want to buy in because their attitude is, well, if you don't buy into me, why should I buy into you? Then they leave, they get their money, they come back, and now they're okay. And I think that that's what's going on with Collins. I mean, look, again, the comment Belichick made about him the other day, holy crap. Like, typically you ask Belichick about a player, and it's team defense.
Tell me the quote again.
Okay, so I'll find the exact comment for you, because when I when I saw it initially,
I was just going to say, while you're looking that up, about Collins, you know, I think part of it is what Maz is talking about. I think that, you know, Jamie, when he was here, had aspirations of, he was in a contract year, all that stuff, wanted to get paid, you know, maybe wasn't used in the way that he wanted to, and he had trouble buying in, went and got his money, got humbled a little bit, has come back. But I think also part of it is the coaching staff, and it's a lot like Patrick Chung, where the first time around, I mean, we all sort of like, you know, couldn't wait to run Patrick Chung out of town because you were like, all right, when he's playing deep safety, he's got no, he can't play in space. He can't. And they did that the first time around. Then when he came back, they basically created a position for him as a sub linebacker where they got him out of playing in space and as a deep safety and got him closer to the line, man coverage against the tight end, defend the run, all that stuff. Jamie, they've sort of done the same thing this time around where they are now, he has now become sort of the Swiss Army knife for the defense. Depending on the game plan, he has a specific assignment and a specific usage, and it's taking advantage of his athletic ability.
I mean, this comment, okay, this is Belichick, okay? Well, Jamie's a very special player. He's very smart, instinctive. He's got a great nose for the ball in the passing game and in the running game. He's got the physical skills to play at the end of the line and off the line, to blitz, to play in coverage, play against the run, play against the pass. So we're able to do different things with him, and he's been productive and effective in all of them. Dot, 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 blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then he goes on and says, you can do things that maybe you don't normally do because of some type of limitations. He goes on. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. That's the kind of football thinker he is. So he's brought a lot to us defensively in a lot of different areas, from first down to third down to playing on the punt team. Somehow they picked up Ray Lewis.
2 minute and 28 seconds on the actual answer.
I mean, like, holy crap. Like, I thought he was going to unzip while going off on this thing.
So Jamie Collins signed for $2 million. He does have $500,000 bonuses for all pro and Pro Bowl. So is Bill trying to get him some money? You know what I mean? You signed here at a discount rate. I'll make it up. You know, we'll do whatever we can to get you your bonuses. And so he's pumping his tires for that. I mean,
wow. If he's that good, how come you got rid of him? Like, what happened the first time?
We've got John in Tennessee on Antonio Brown. Yes, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm a BSJ subscriber, but Greg is beating the drum now pretty hard that they shouldn't have signed this guy. He's not worth it. Yick, get rid of him. When 2 weeks ago he was leading the charge, he's better than Randy Moss. We got to sign him. Underneath the thing that he wrote on BSJ, my comment is still there. No, hell no, never. I love Bedard, love your show, but at some point, if you're going to rip the Pats over signing him, which I am too, you need to at least say, I was wrong about
him. He did.
Wrong about this guy.
He did. I'm sorry, you want to speak for yourself? I don't want to speak for you.
I mean, you know, look, as far as talent, yes, they needed to go. I mean, that means he's okay off the field, that they're okay with what went on in Oakland and what went on in Pittsburgh. That, you know, that's all contingent on that. And, you know, I mean, with this thing with Brittany Taylor, I mean, obviously everything's in different context. You know, we didn't know that. I don't know if the Patriots knew that. So it's different. But just him on the field, and as long as everything else worked out, and quite frankly, I wouldn't have given him $10 million. I thought that was too far. I figured they would have gotten him for cheaper money. But, you know, as far as the player, absolutely. I stand by all that. I mean, I think he's better than Randy Moss when he got here.
See, I don't think that it's different. And the only reason is we all saw this coming. Not Brittany Taylor specifically, but how many issues has the guy had? So, to me, the bottom line is you thought he was worth the risk. I don't think he's worth the risk. But if you're going to come back now and say, oh, they should have known better, this is horrible, you need to at least say, I was wrong too, in my opinion. Again, love the site, love the show, take care.
Okay, baby.
I appreciate that.
His column, you say, sure, I advocated for your first line is sure. You admit, I advocated for the Patriots to sign Brown if he became available. Of course, that was with me thinking the Patriots would have done a modicum of due diligence on the background of a troubled player before doing so. Silly of me to expect that without stating it. Considering some of their past missteps, that might be an area that needs improvement in the organization. So you're not saying you're wrong, but you're saying you weren't expecting all this baggage with Antonio Brown, which I'm sorry, you should have expected it.
I was expecting the Pittsburgh-Oakland baggage, and I was okay with that because, and as I laid out in the column, because of Belichick and because of Brady. Like, Antonio Brown knew he could walk all over Mike Tomlin, knew he could walk all over John Gruden, knew he could do whatever he wanted with Ben Roethlisberger and certainly with Carr out in Oakland. But when you come to the Patriots, it's different, and I thought Antonio would come into line. And he might. I mean, so far he has, from all that we know. But the off-field stuff, this lawsuit, that has – I think that's changed things for everybody.
I mean, everybody reaches a breaking point, right? I told you, I was a yes on Brown when he was with the Steelers. Then the Raiders thing happened, and I said, oh, boy. Like, no thanks.
Well, so look, I guess no one can change their mind or, you know, learn things and realize that, you know, I guess, I don't know. This is what happens when you just try and tell it like it is, Greg. You deal with Baby Nation there. But if you care, I've been no on these kind of guys the entire way. Even, you know, these outside receivers who have no baggage. Just that player on the field, I think, is overrated and you don't need. Never mind.
I was no on Aqib Talib. You know, but I thought Antonio, his talent just supersedes everybody. I mean,
I'd take Aqib Talib 10 times out of 10 over this guy, over this clown.
Aqib Talib still had the best excuse ever when he got questioned for a legal matter. It wasn't me, it was my mother.
That's right. He blamed his mom for shooting that guy in the park. Anyway,
I didn't fire the
gun.
Okay, it was mom.
You're okay with gunplay, but, you know.
Well, it was his mom that,
okay. All right.
That shot the guy. 10 questions with Bedard right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's do it. 10 questions around the league with Bedard. We have just under 10 minutes to do it, so we have to be on time. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options?
I picked a single buzzer option for today.
Oh, good.
Oh, I love it.
Tom Brady, Tommy, Tom.
It always works. Perfect. Boom.
Tom Brady, Tommy, Tom.
Number 10, take this question seriously. The Dolphins versus the University of Alabama or Clemson. Pick your team. Give me a score.
I went with Alabama. Dolphins 23, Alabama 13. I mean, the Dolphins are bad, but still, these guys are professionals. They're going to win the game.
30-27.
Who?
Take your pick. I think it's that close. I do. I think it comes down to a field goal, and whoever gets the break wins. Yeah. Take your pick. It doesn't matter. They're all the same.
I feel like every few years we do this exercise with some terrible team. No matter how bad an NFL team is, they are still professionals. So Dolphins 21, Clemson 13.
Yeah, not in this case. Miami blows. They suck. They could lose easily.
So I've never asked this question in this form, but this is the only time I've seriously considered it. That Miami team is something special. Is something different. They're worse than that. Was it the Lions were the last team to go 0-16?
Yeah.
Did the Browns do it once with Hugh Jackson?
Sounds right.
So I think this team is worse than those.
Oh, yeah, worse.
I mean, they
can't even catch the ball.
They only had a few good players, and they've traded them away.
Yeah.
So I think this is the one team that you could say, I think Clemson might have more first-round picks on their roster than Miami has.
Yeah. Welcome to Miami, home of the NFL's practice squad.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yes,
so
bad.
I think this one's in play. This one, actually, that college team would give them a game.
Tom Brady, Tommy, Tom.
Number 9, should replay be available to review roughing the passer? And I'm obviously talking about the Chubb tackle on... what's his face? So Trubisky in Denver on Sunday.
That was atrocious. I'm going to say no just because I want the pass interference replay out. I want it, you know, everything out except the basics. I can't do it anymore.
So you've already turned on the replay.
I'm out.
See, I approach it from the opposite perspective. If pass interference is in, hell yes.
I don't think pass interference is going to be in after this year.
Okay, I thought you were already speculating.
There's already speculation about that.
Tell me why you're out already.
Well, I mean, I'm just hearing from people in the league that they're not happy with the way things are going so far.
Oh, you think? Yeah. Like, oh, who could have seen that coming? Of course. But anyway, if you're going to, Maz, so this is the point. You know, those huge game-changing plays, P.I. is such a crucial play, field position-wise and possession-wise. Roughing the passer is the same deal. It won the Bears that game. If you're going to review P.I., should you review roughing the passer?
That was a brutal call. Brutal.
I say no. Kill all the replay. We don't need more replay. No.
Thank you. That's easy. Next.
Tom Brady. Tommy. Tom.
Number eight, this is for Murray. Bedard gets to weigh in. It's a fact-based question, Murray.
Yeah, I know.
So I would hope that you don't get it wrong. This is a fact, not an opinion. Please give me Jimmy Garoppolo's record as a starter.
It's 10-2. Great. You know who else is winning records as
starters? Hold on. I didn't ask for any commentary. I was just asking for...
Yeah, the right answer is 10-2.
10-2. Very good. You got
correct.
It right.
You get the little bell.
Very
ding,
good.
Ding. Good job. Now, gold star.
What is this? Maz, Bedard, discuss.
Oh, it's legit? Yeah. I mean, what? That's a coincidence? 10-2 is 10-2. I don't care how you slice it up. Career passer rating, 98.2. This year, 104.9. You'll come around, Murray.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
No,
just,
I won't.
Murray, very simple. Just all you got to do, three words. I was wrong.
Matt was Ryan, wrong. Jared Goff, Alex Smith, Andy Dalton, Mitch Trubisky. Those are just some of the overrated stiffs that all have winning records as starting quarterbacks.
Yay.
10-2?
Ooh, yeah, no. Let's go through some of the teams he's played to, please. And an asterisk on that against the Bengals, please. As bad as Miami.
I'll take it legit. As soon as he makes it through a full season healthy, then I'll consider him legitimate.
It's a fair criticism. I will accept that.
All I did was ask his record as a starter next.
Tom Brady. Tommy. Tom.
Number seven. Is Ben Roethlisberger done?
The Steelers obviously don't think so, because then why would they make the Minka
Fitzpatrick
trade? I mean, that's a prime, you know, considering that Rudolph's going to have to play. They're not going to be very good. They're trading around at least like a, you know, 15th overall pick for safety. And if they were going to go for a quarterback, you need that ammunition. So they think he's back.
Right. I never thought of it that way. They're going to need a quarterback coming up, and they trade a first-round pick for is he a safety or a slot corner? Like, what are you?
He's both. He's both. Mm. He's good.
But, jeez.
Yeah, I think that fat dump is done. That's what I think.
A first-round, like, that could be a top-10 pick this team.
Could be.
Correct.
A top-5? I mean, this could be a mm-hmm. really hype. Anyway,
they're already owed, too.
Yeah, the idea of rehabbing when that comes around, oh, he's not going to want to do that. He's cooked. It's over.
Yeah, 37-year-old quarterback. Never been a fan of fitness. His head looks like it's getting fatter by the day. Done.
Done. Done.
He is. He's cooked.
He didn't want to put in the work when he was healthy.
Seriously.
Never mind the work it's going to take just to get healthy and then the work it's going to take to get back on the field. That fat dump. No, he quit a long time ago.
But you won't have a problem bending that elbow to put French fries in his mouth.
Oh, and they have a first-round pick. It could be a high first-round pick to solve the quarterback thing, and they just traded it for a safety. Oh, God, that's so good. Next.
Tom Brady. Tommy. Tom.
Along these same lines, number six, give me the Saints record without Drew Brees. Here are their next six games. Okay. At Seattle, home Dallas, home Tampa, at Jacksonville, at Chicago, Arizona.
4-2. They lose the first two and win the last four.
3-3.
I did not like what I saw out of Teddy Bridgewater in that game.
No, it didn't look good.
Yeah. Classic, look right, throw right. Did you even look anywhere else on the field other than just...
But you know what? Peyton will coach 3-3 out of them.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with Maz on this. 500. You know, Vegas changed them to 25-1 to win the Super Bowl since that Brees injury. They were like 4-1 or something like that prior to that.
They just lost their home games.
Sounds like a good bet to me.
I mean, maybe they can sneak into the playoffs. Maybe they can worm out that division. But, you know, there goes the bye. There goes those sort of things.
Yeah, absolutely. The road got a lot tougher. It's a massive loss. But Peyton can coach a quarterback. They'll find a way to hang in there.
Next.
Tom Brady. Tommy. Tom.
Number five, tool bag question. This is a big one. Takes a lot of thought because there's a lot of options. Who's the biggest tool bag Jet of all time?
Woody Johnson.
I was going to go with Woody.
Oh, good one.
I'll tell you why in a second for me, but you.
He's just an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. The best thing that happened to that franchise is when he got that ambassadorship and handed it over.
Yeah, things have turned around
recently. Well, whatever. They're always a disaster.
Yeah, things are looking up.
Yeah, no, there's Aaron's
they're getting it
up.
All start. Yeah. You know.
I went with Mark Gastineau, I am that you know, when you remember the whole Bridget Nielsen thing, and there were cutaways of her up in the crowd doing the heart and I love you, and oh my God, I wanted to puke. I felt like I was in high school. Mark Gatineau, you tool.
I went with Bart Scott, overrated loudmouth on the field, terrible broadcaster off of it. If you've ever heard his show on WFAN, you know what I'm talking about. Another guy who got an undeserved job because of his name. So I went with Bart Scott. He stinks.
Woody Johnson, he's asked a couple of years ago, what would you rather have happen, the Jets win the Super Bowl or Mitt Romney be president? And he said Mitt Romney be president. Now, that's not a commentary on Mitt Romney. If you know, that's not what that is about. But when you own an NFL team and you tell your fans anything other than winning the Super Bowl is more important to you, you, sir, are a flaming tool bag. And oh, by the way, your guy is in the White House and your team blows. So you're happy? And if you're a fan of the Jets, how do you feel about that? That is, wow, what a freaking jackass.
Tom Brady, Tommy, Tom.
Number four, give me a good landing spot for Jalen Ramsey.
Eagles or the Chiefs, but Eagles number one because they don't have much of a cornerback. I mean, Sidney Jones is pretty good, but beyond him, they have nothing there, and he would make them a lot better.
Philly was my first pick, but Kansas City's also a good one. Either one. I mean, you're talking about a defensive-altering player. Like, he can change the game.
How about Dallas?
Dallas, another good one.
I mean, just, like, personality fit.
Another good one.
You know what I mean? Like, just add another combustible, big personality to that mix.
I mean, if Roethlisberger were healthy, I'd say Pittsburgh.
He apparently said in an interview, because he's from Tennessee, that he'd like to go to either Nashville, so to play for the Titans, or maybe Vegas, because the Raiders are going to go there. But I'm with Greg on this, the Eagles.
Next.
Tom Brady, Tommy, Tom.
Number three, Lamar Jackson leads the NFL with a 145.2 quarterback rating. Dak Prescott is second at 142.9. Who will end the year with a better quarterback rating?
Dak. Lamar Jackson is not a good passer. He just happened to play two expansion teams and is in the Dolphins and the Cardinals in the first 2 weeks.
Prescott, not even close.
Yeah, Prescott, more polished, less willing to run than Jackson, new coordinator. Kellen Moore is opening it up for him.
Prescott, not even close.
Tom Brady, Tommy, Tom.
Number two, what are your thoughts on the Pats at the end of the game in Miami, up 37-0? Brady in the shotgun, throwing over the middle to Edelman, calling timeouts on defense, blitzing Josh Rosen, that whole thing.
I don't love it just from the Brady aspect, just because, I mean, look what's going on. I mean, Drew Brees is out 6 weeks after, you know, following through on a pass. But if Bill was trying to prove a point about we need to play 60 minutes about what happened last year and sort of setting a tone for this team, then I'm okay with it.
What do I think? Like school in the summertime. No class. That's what I think. No class.
You care about the class thing?
Oh, I just think it's tactless. It's a bad look. It's a bad, bad look. Just run the ball, punt it, and go home.
The more I think about it, I think it's trying to right the wrong of not playing the full 60 last year in Miami. It's more of a message to his team.
Last question. Ding.
Tom Brady. Tommy. Tom.
Eli Manning, pretty much done with the Giants, pretty much done as an NFL quarterback. Let's just assume it for the purposes of this question. Who do you have all time, Eli Manning or Brett Favre?
Favre.
Who do you have, Eli Manning or Dan Fouts?
Fouts.
Eli.
Who do you have, Eli Manning or Warren Moon?
Moon.
Eli.
Who do you have, Eli Manning or Kurt Warner?
This is close, but Warner.
Eli.
Eli Manning or Steve Young?
Steve Young.
So you all had Eli had a one of these guys, at least one.
I had them all. Okay. I mean, sorry, I had the other guys ahead of
Eli. Oh, so you had Eli behind all of them. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So I just lost track there a little bit. Is Eli, this is all a long way of saying, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? Because all those guys are Hall of Famers.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's, at the end of the day, he gets in. But Gary Myers was tweeting today about how he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
No way.
I don't want him in at all.
No.
I don't want the Hall of the Very Good.
No. And I'm sorry.
Or good. He's not even very good. He's good.
Dan Fouts, no. Kurt Warner, no. Double no. Look at Kurt Warner's numbers and production when he ever had to play outside. He was an Arena League quarterback. No on Warner. No on Warren Moon. No. Favre all let in grudgingly, and Steve Young, fine. Okay, those guys are Hall of Famers. Dan Fouts wasn't, Warren Moon wasn't, Kurt Warner wasn't. No, no, no. And Eli Manning sure as hell is not.
K. Can I ask a question in a different way?
I mean, he won some big games. He had some balls. I'll grant you all that. Did you ever look at Eli Manning and say, there goes the best in the game?
No, of course not.
Never.
Tell you what, big game outdoors on the road, would you take him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But that's different than saying Hall of Fame.
I said, can I ask it in a different way? I asked.
Big, fat, no. Eli Manning Hall of Fame, but that's it. No, let them all in.
Just trying to present it in a different way.
Here comes Murray's next time. You could ask the question. Murray is up next with his update, then we get right back to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Claire, put the desk world down!
In their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your calls as promised. Let's go to the phones and Xavier in Brockton on one of the things we just hit on. Go ahead, Xavier.
Hey, so Felga, I know you guys were talking about Jalen Ramsey going to KC. He'll be a better fit with it. But with Jason McCourty getting older, wouldn't you guys take a swing on him and bring him in? Hopefully he'll sign an extension with us. Because he wants to win.
Sure. I think they're asking for 2 first-round picks, as we just were discussing.
Yeah, Bert too much. Britt Breer, MMQB, is reporting that.
I mean, if you didn't have Gilmore, I'd say yes.
It's sort of crazy to say you don't need him, but you kind of sort of don't need him.
No, well, they have a, you know, what I would call a premium corner. So now, do I think Ramsey's better than Gilmore? Yes, but you only need one.
And this guy, by the way, I just want to point this out. First-class jackass. You know, I don't know about his off-field stuff, but, you know, he's... someone who shows up to camp in the Brinks truck and like all this, like a clown. But I don't shy away from the clown defensive back, because the clown defensive back doesn't feel like it infects the team like the clown wide receiver. The clown wide receiver crawls inside, is needy, needs the ball, needs the quarterback to pay attention to him, needs the quarterback to feed him, needs the offensive coordinator to feature him. The clown defensive back just goes on his island and covers the best receiver, and that's it. And so you've never heard, I was yes on Aqib Talib. I loved Revis. So I'm more willing. I mean, the guy's a total flaming jackass. And, you know, there's a limit. There's a line there. But the troubled defensive back can't really undermine you like the troubled wide receiver can.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, the only one he ends up making look like a jackass is himself if he gets beat.
Sort of. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It really doesn't infect the team.
Like, I mean, I love Ramsey. I love them, but I think if the Patriots, a defensive back is not their chief need right now. I'd be more interested in offensive tackle. You tell me you can get Trent Williams, I'm in.
Here's Jason in Oregon. What do you got for us, Jason?
Hey, I just wanted to take my speakerphone off so he didn't mess with it. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I was wondering about Michael Bennett and his play time that was kind of reduced. He did play toward the end of the game. And he got a sack, but earlier in the game, I think it was right when...
You're just taking too long. His playing time was down earlier in the Miami game. Your thoughts on Michael Bennett overall this season? Because he's been mentioned a couple times in terms of haven't really noticed him.
He's been great, and he's been impactful in both games when he's been in there. He didn't play that much against Miami. I think they just... you know, the heat and all that, and they knew they weren't going to need him in this game. So
load,
you know,
management.
I mean, yeah, he's like what? He's like 33 years old. Yeah, just rest him.
But he's played 25 snaps.
He's been great when he's been out there.
Yeah, he has. He's been impactful in every game.
Let's see the chart.
I haven't noticed.
I had him for four. Yeah, I had him for a sack and a half in this game. Another knockdown, because I also give credit when I give a half a sack when somebody forces, like both of Adam Butler's sacks were forced by Chase Winovich and I think somebody else. You know, other players flushed the quarterback to them. I split up responsibility because it's not the guy who just was there. I have Bennett for, you know, 1.5 sacks and a hit in this game, and I think it was virtually the same thing in the game before. He's been impactful when he's been on the field. He's driving people back. There was a running play, I think, this week where he drove the offensive lineman back, bounced the play outside. This is what he does, and I just think it's purely load management for him, and I'm all for it.
Murray?
Yeah, I'm with Mass. He said, he's like, I haven't really noticed him. I haven't in these first couple of games, so I'll take your word for it. You're watching the All 22. I feel like I haven't heard his name really once.
I noticed him one play in the Miami game, and that's when he get it on the quarterback. That was it. But, you know, if you're telling me he's pushing some other fat guy 3 yards up the field, I'll take your word for it.
Daniel in Lowell, apology to Mass, says his comment line. This should be interesting.
Jimmy, roll on this.
Go ahead, Danny.
It's Andrew, but Mass, I'm sorry. I called a few years ago, and I berated you about your favorite New England kicker, and you were right. This guy is a grade-A bum. Up until last week, I was a believer in Gostkowski. He's going to be the reason we lose number seven. Naz, I'm sorry.
Okay, no need to apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize for that.
Greg, are you concerned about Steven Gostkowski?
Yeah. I mean, look, he's been in these sort of ruts. He's never missed two extra points in a game before. And he's always had trouble down in Miami. Would I not be that worried if the Super Bowl were not in that same stadium? Yeah. But now I'm worried because the Patriots could be going for 19-0, and you're going to have a kicker there who can't make any kicks in that stadium. Yeah, I've got a problem.
See, I hate every kicker. Everyone thinks it's a Gostkowski, other than Vinatieri. I mean, really, who's like, and even he's cracking now, although albeit at age 46 or whatever it is. Like, to me, it's not, I just don't trust kickers, period.
Dominic and Woburn, what do you got for us?
Hey, so of the remaining teams, which offenses do you think pose the greatest threat to the Pats defense? And then on the flip side, which defenses pose the greatest threats to the Pats offense? I'll just hang
off
and listen.
I think KC goes without saying.
Absolutely.
Dallas.
Dallas's offense?
Yeah.
Both.
Really?
Mobile quarterback. They always have trouble with mobile.
I was going to say the mobileness of Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott, maybe. I don't know. Has Dallas's offense all of a sudden become dynamic?
Yeah. I think it's getting there.
Or is it?
Looks a hell of a lot different than anything they were doing last year.
I just think they have more options on offense in the passing game now. Look, there were two or three guys to throw to, plus you can throw to Elliott out of the backfield. There's enough there.
Look, I don't discount Josh Allen being a little spunky this week with the Bills because of his athletic ability. Remember last year?
Next week.
Oh, it's the Jets this week. Whatever. I get all that AFC crap all mixed up.
You see one bag of garbage, you'll see them all.
But remember last year, and this was before the defense got into its groove, but remember, Mitch Trubisky gave them all they could handle last year in Chicago, was running all over the joint, across the field, back and forth, and not getting touched for touchdowns. So, any quarterback that's mobile, it throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into what the Patriots do because they don't know where he's going to be and they can't design everything around that. So, Dak, worries me. I still think this defense is great and won't have any issues, but any athletic quarterbacks? Yeah, I get a little bit worried.
Okay, a final segment with Bedard coming up, and we'll get to the topic and the question. Is the NFL facing an epically, epically lousy season? Is that what's heading down the pike for the NFL? We'll discuss that with your calls right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is there such a thing anymore as being a star in the National Football League and having a low profile?
Well, I'd say the challenging part today is there's so many people that are seeking a headline. And, if you say one thing that's taken out of context, it becomes blown up in a way that takes on a life of its own. And when they take the context out of what you say, it becomes very distracting or distressing, especially in a team environment when you're trying not to cause distraction. So unfortunately, I think over the years, I've gotten more protective of what I'm saying because there is a lack of trust in speaking your mind because people aren't interested in context. And they're going to take what they want to make their story, and they're going to use you to make a story. So I do think in the advent of social media, the one thing that's been really cool for me is I get to have my own voice and in my own words. And I think that's a very empowering thing for an athlete. It's very different than when Joe played, or certainly early in my career, and it does take up some discretionary amount of time, but you don't feel like you're when you say something that's going to be taken out of context if you're doing it yourself. So there's definitely has its pluses and minuses, its advantages, disadvantages, but that's the world we're living in.
It's an interesting answer from Brady last night with Jim Gray in that Westwood One interview. He did it with Joe Namath. I'll play some more cuts from it later on. There's no one there to take you out of context. There's also no one there to question you. So it's, why wouldn't these guys just go to their own Twitter or whatever. It makes
it very comfortable, isn't it?
Certainly. Certainly is. Wrap it up with some calls here for Greg Bedard on a Big Boy Tuesday. Paul and Revere, what's your question?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What do you got?
Good. So
I was watching the game last night at halftime. I switched on Boston Sports Tonight, and I was listening to John Tomasi. First off, Maz, God bless you for working with that guy. Guy is soft as tissue paper. Basically, he was saying how the 07 offense was much better than this offense simply because of Randy Moss. Now, obviously, nobody on this current Patriots roster is anything close to Randy Moss that year. He was an absolute specimen. But the versatility of this offense this year is second to none. I mean, they can beat you 5, 6, 7 different ways. This defense reminds me of the 03-04 defense. I mean, I've been following this team for...
I was going to ask you, Paul. Yeah, Paul, how old are you?
I'm 29 years old. So, I mean, I was the Patriots won their first Super Bowl. So, I've kind of really grown up with this.
Well, I'm sorry, you said 19?
29.
Yeah. I have that habit of asking a question and then immediately stop answering, so stop listening. 29. So in 2003 and 4, he was
13, 14.
I'm sorry.
You don't have the same understanding. Even if you remember it, you don't have the same level of understanding.
I know you get sick of me saying this, but I don't think these teams of recent vintage hold a candle to those 03. And you go 07 because of all of that. I'm telling you, by the end of the year, 07 was not what it was cracked up to be. They deserve a lot of credit for going undefeated and all of that. Like, that's an epic accomplishment. And I'm not telling you they sucked. I'm just telling you they were kind of ripe for the taking and they got took. In 03 and 04, they were freaking wagons and got stronger as the years went on and played their best football at the end and did it all. 03, 04, especially 04, would wipe the freaking floor with the 2007 team. 2004 would crack 2007 in the mouth and you'd never have to worry about it. And 03 and 04 would beat these current teams as well. They were better teams. It was a better league. They had harder competition. They still went back-to-back 14-2. And in 2004, basically were never challenged. Vinatieri didn't have to kick a single game winner in 2004 because they throttled everybody.
Hang on a second, Papa. I mean, your overall point might be right, but let's also not discount that it's a completely different game now.
Yes.
Like, fair enough. You're not going to get the 85 Bears today. You're just not. No one is ever going to be the 85 Bears. No one's probably ever going to be the 2003-2004 Patriots, but that doesn't mean they're not the equivalent. And I think this defense in this day and age with the quarterback protections and the downfield contact and all that stuff, I think... And it's obviously going to be tough to measure, but I'm sure Aaron Schatz and Football Outsiders, those guys can do this sort of thing. I think it's going to be comparable. But I did want to bring up about the offense that he talks about. I think he's right about the versatility in terms of this offense because of how many running backs and how many wide receivers. But I also wouldn't discount, you know, he said, like, well, nobody was Moss. He was in the prime. Remember, Moss was on fumes when he got here. Nobody knew what he had left. The Patriots didn't. They made him tear up his 2-year contract. He played for nothing that first year. They're paying this guy $10 million just to walk off the bus. Moss had a whole training camp, or at least he was here to learn. This guy just got here. So, you know, you can't really compare that either. I still maintain that Antonio Brown on the field, that player, he is better than Randy Moss when Randy Moss got here.
He's a more complete receiver.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like his game better.
And look, as to where this team stands, like, you know, they're 2 weeks in, they've played garbage. Okay, although Pittsburgh was, you know, one-sided game.
And they might be.
Okay, so, but even so, if they maintain this through that stretch in the middle, then we can have the discussion.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I think statistically, you're going to be able to compare this team to all the greats because the league is down. Your division has somehow... continued to get worse, not better. Your schedule is epically bad, epically easy. You had the easiest schedule in the league walking into it, and it gets easier by the week because guys keep going down. And so I think at the end of the day, your numbers are going to compare this year to 03, 04, 07, those teams. But just stack up the personnel and the rosters. I don't think they compare.
So I'm just saying, though, when they play Kansas City and Philly, if they beat them both by 3 touchdowns and hold the Chiefs to 19 points,
sure,
will you change your mind?
Yeah, get back to me.
So, like, I'll allow for that possibility. I don't expect it, but I'll allow for it.
George in Northborough. Go ahead, George.
I'm just hoping Bedard can elaborate on a comment, if I heard it right earlier, when you said he felt Brown's, his play, or I guess his talent, superseded his behavior in Pittsburgh and up through Oakland, when that behavior included, you know, calling his GM a cracker and threatening to punch him in the face in the workplace. To me, that's just like the the same through line of behavior we're seeing in the accusations.
I don't, in
the workplace.
See, George, I disagree with that. I mean, I think that, to me, that was a guy trying to force his way out of Oakland. And it can be explained away. I mean, Randy Moss had that similar type of behavior, you know, where he was at in Oakland. And I just think, I don't think you could draw a line from confronting Mike Mayock to try to force his way out and then Moss, alleged rape.
Right, but did Randy Moss threaten to punch someone in the face
I don't know.
In the building?
Maybe.
He was pretty rotten in Oakland at the end, but George, I agree with you. I think you can equate it. I think the guy is completely out of control in his professional life. Completely. Until he got here. And now, even if he's still out of control, we're not going to hear about it. But the guy is completely out of control in his professional life. What makes you think he goes home and is any different? How can you be completely out of control at work and then go home and be completely in control? It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, but it would have been nice for you to make this argument before he got here.
I did. I did the exact
this argument. You didn't. Well, you see how he behaved with Mike Mayock. How do you, you know, he obviously acts the same way at home. You didn't make this argument. You made this after the accusations came out. You made that argument. You didn't do it before.
Well, you're right. I didn't call him a wife beater until I heard that he was beating
his
wife.
Correct. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, we're just talking about.
Or I'm sorry, and that's not I miss I didn't call him a rapist until he got accused of rape. That's right. I'll throw crap against the wall, but I'm really not going to go there until I actually get the charge on.
Yeah, but you could have. I mean, you're making the point that this is a guy who was out of control, who called Mike Mayock a cracker and all this stuff, and you could have said, this is the way he must act in his personal life. He must be out of control too. I didn't hear those arguments, and I'm not saying you should have made them, but I'm just saying I didn't hear those arguments before he got here. And now suddenly, because these accusations came out, now he's a raving lunatic at work, and that transfers to home.
I called him a raving lunatic, and I want nothing to do with him because he's bad news. He's a bad guy doing bad things. And I've been saying that the entire time. Could I have predicted a rape charge or these domestic calls or things like that? No.
I mean, I think Aqib Talib got in a fight in the locker room in Tampa Bay, and he also had, you know, he was talked about or detained for shooting off a gun in a neighborhood.
His mom did it.
You know.
It was his mom who shot that guy.
Yeah. It was Mama Talib. Mama Talib
pulled the trigger on that one. But again, I treat the defensive players different. I do. And I'm not talking about as human beings. I'm talking about, do I want them on my football team? That little bit of crazy and disruptive, it flies on defense. You can get away with it on defense. At receiver, it's undermining to your whole team. I've seen it in too many places.
I just think for 1 year, as long as there wasn't off-field stuff that we now know about, as long as there wasn't that stuff, the stuff that we did know about, I was okay with 1 year with Belichick and Brady. He could have kept it in check for 1 year.
No.
I told you, the Oakland thing sent me over the edge. That was like, whoa, this guy's nuts. Like, again, he got a new beginning and torched the place before he even set foot on the field. He just torched it. Like, I saw that and said, this guy's a different kind of animal. Like, a different kind of cat.
All right, big boy, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
See you, big boy. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, some of the finest Patriots analysis you'll find out there, because he actually just tells it like it is, or what he thinks it is. And in this case, he's got some whopping stuff on Philip Dorsett. Read it today on Boston Sports Journal.
And Greg, on the way home today, keep it on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Just wanted to make sure you did that.
So we've got a break here with Murray. It's not a break. It's just a 90-second update. The latest on Antonio Brown. And we come back. Is the NFL staring at an epically, historically bad season across the board? That's after.